Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. This is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire. To be used by you.
Unique to me in my own life also is that, you know, the Lord
is really loving, and he has his arms open for every single person. I really believe this testimony tonight is going to prove that to you. How you doing, Beth?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Beth, I'm going to let you start out with your testimony.
Okay, sure. So I grew up in a house where God wasn't really talked about very often. My mom's side of the family was Mormon, and my dad's side of the family was Catholic. But my dad, I think, had probably, I don't know, been hurt, or something must have happened, because he didn't profess the Catholic faith and just never talked about God. And my mom never talked about God, but I did go to the Mormon church with my grandmother on and off as a child. And I don't recall ever really knowing who Jesus Christ was from going there, or I'm not sure what idea I got of God, but I do know that as a child I had some sort of overview that God was the big guy in the sky who looks down and judges and punishes and is mean. And so as I grew up and got older, into my teens, I was always a very sad child. I just was never close to my parents or my family. I love my parents, and they did the best they could, but I just never felt that love and security that I needed and desired. And so as a very young teen, 13, I started to become suicidally depressed and obsessed with death. And I began cutting myself and just fantasizing actually about death and wanting to die, because it seemed to be my only escape from a life where I was miserable and full of despair. I had no hope. Hope wasn't even in my vocabulary. And so I was in a series of abusive relationships with other teen boys, and actually some family members also abused me. And I just was very depressed. And so when a friend of mine committed suicide when I was about 17, I felt at that point in time that was proof to me that there was no God. And so I decided I was an atheist. And I felt that way and just totally rejected God, because what I felt God was, you know, judging and condemning. And then I met a boyfriend and girlfriend couple that were Wiccans. His whole family was Wiccan, and his mother, I believe, was like a high priestess in the coven. And they drew me in, and they began to teach me about their beliefs about Wicca and witchcraft. And I was totally enthralled by the whole idea. I'd always been fascinated, actually, with witches and vampires and things of that nature, because, you know, when you read books and watch movies about witches and vampires, it's very romanticized, very exciting. It's totally seductive. And so who doesn't, you know, want to get involved with being a witch, because it seems exciting and fun. It doesn't seem dangerous, because, you know, like I said, when you look around, the world portrays it as fun and exciting and not a bad thing. And look how many people dress up for witches on Halloween, which just proves that it doesn't seem bad. It seems fun and exciting. And so they started talking to me about God, as in God is a part of everything. God is everywhere. And do you see this chair? You know, this chair is made up of millions of molecules, and all those molecules are a part of God. So this chair is a part of God, and just ideas like that. And, you know, there's all these different gods and goddesses, and each one is, you know, represented by something like the earth or the moon or the sun, or, you know, it's all very nature based. And so for me, it just started to make sense. It made me feel like I was a part of something. You know, I was a part of a higher power. I was a part of the universe, which was, you know, a higher power. And it went also along with my ideas about evolution that I'd learned in school, that, you know, we came out of nothing, you know, or the ooze of the ocean or whatever. And it just all tied in together. And so I literally began to worship the moon. I would sit in my backyard and literally worship the moon on a full moon. I worship the ocean. I worship creation. So in Romans 1, when it talks about forsaking the creator to worship the creation, that's exactly what I was doing. But I had no idea. And I actually was completely against Christianity because as I got older and I would meet more people who professed to be Christians, they would say, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. Well, that meant nothing to me because I didn't believe in sin, I didn't believe in hell, and I didn't believe in the devil. All along, I didn't realize that I was practicing, you know, the works of the devil. So I literally would set up an altar, and it had, you know, my different symbolic things on it, like crystals, certain colored candles, the athame or the knife, incense, and all the different things, which all represented things I learned from these people for a short period of time, and then they actually kicked me out of their life, which was a blessing, and I didn't realize until recently. And so I self-taught myself. I never got into a coven. I tried, but it just never happened. Nothing ever felt right for me. But I did rituals outside. You know, there was a pagan festival I went to where everyone was like, you know, doing rituals naked and out in the moonlight. And it was just, I mean, it's pretty crazy. And it just, I just went along at my own pace. I did. I actually got into lots of different other religions, though, because I was very curious, and I looked into Jewish mysticism, which is another form of witchcraft, which, I mean, witches don't believe in Satan or worship the devil, but it is Satanism. They don't know it. Witches believe that what they're doing is for the good of all, that it would harm none. You know, it's the law of threefold, whatever you do comes back threefold. So they would never want to intentionally do anything harmful, but they really don't know that it's all demonic. And I believe a lot of witches actually get into witchcraft because they were hurt by the church or other Christians in some way. Because, you know, sometimes Christians are very condemning to people and judgmental, and from what my experience of God is, that's not going to bring people to Christ. And, you know, the gospel is a love message. It's not a, you're going to hell. Yes, we need to know we're going to go to hell, but first we need to be wooed by the, you know, undying love that God has for us. Then we get to understand that he's holy and just and perfect and about sin and hell. But anyway, so I never actually heard the gospel message at any time that I can ever remember. No one actually presented the gospel to me. It was just, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. And so I practiced this for several years. I got into a relationship and I ended up getting pregnant, and I got him into the witchcraft. We were into it really heavily together. And I taught him everything I knew, and then we learned more together. And I remember on one Halloween, which is Samhain to witches. It's the night, this is what they say, it's the night where the veil between the worlds is the thinnest. It's a celebration of death and a tribute to the dead ancestors. And so I remember at that time we were actually living out in the national forest, and so we could just drive right down the street and perform our Samhain ritual where we were trying to contact the dead. And I remember, I think I was trying to contact my dead grandmother, and there was this giant face just appeared before me, larger than life, looming in front of me. And I had never even seen anything like that. I mean, I had done a lot of things. I was doing astral projection. I mean, all kinds of things, but I had never seen, you know, any ghostly figures, or I'd never seen demons or anything. So I didn't know what it was. And it was pretty scary, but it was also, to me, a sign of, you know, I must have been doing something right. And so I kept into that. And then things got a little hairy because my husband at the time, I'm not married to that person anymore, he's actually deceased. My husband at the time got into some trouble, and so we started blurring the lines because when you're a, what they call a white witch, it's, like I said, it's for good. It's not supposed to harm people. Black magic is just the intention to harm and do bad things. And then in between, there's gray magic where it's kind of, it's not exactly good and it's not exactly bad. So I started blurring the lines, trying to do spells to protect him, but they were actually against someone that I thought was hurting him. And we took items of this person and we're doing rituals to try and banish this guy from our lives. And, you know, it just got really hairy. Things started getting really bad. And then my husband actually left me. And I was trying to talk to psychics and do more rituals to get him away from this woman that he left me for. And my whole life just really fell apart. I mean, I didn't think I had the greatest life. I actually felt like, you know, when I was in witchcraft, that it was a happy time for me at that time. I felt happier than I had any other time in my life because I felt a freedom and a communion with life and, you know, the gods and goddesses, which, you know, were part of what I thought was creation, you know, and so I felt the happiness and the freedom. But once I started blurring the lines of what they call white magic into the gray magic, and things started going really wrong, and I had to move back in with my parents. I became severely depressed again because my husband left me. I was pregnant, and I got into another abusive relationship. And so I actually set aside my practices in witchcraft because I got to a point where I couldn't even function. I mean, I was barely making it day to day to take care of the child I already had. And myself, I mean, I could barely feed myself. I was so really depressed. And so I set aside my practices in magic, but I never set aside my beliefs. I mean, I actually tattooed a pentagram, which is a pagan symbol for witchcraft, on my arm, and a moon that I worshipped on my leg, because I was 100% committed with my whole being to believing the beliefs I had. And in witchcraft and paganism, I didn't call myself Wiccan because I saw that as a title of an organized religion. I was so against organized religions because of what I heard from Christians that I wouldn't even call myself Wiccan. So I was just, I'm a pagan. But anyway, so I still believed it, and I still read about it and all their Sabbats or holy days, such as Halloween, Yule, which is right before Christmas, Beltane, which is around April or May. I would think about, you know, and talk about them and maybe do a little something with to myself, but I didn't really talk to my kids about it until they got older. Then I did start teaching them about it and talking to them about it because I wanted them to understand, you know, what I thought was my heritage, you know, ancient roots is what I called it. That Christians stole everything from pagans. They stole Christmas and Easter and Halloween from pagans and their ancient roots. And so I cannot reiterate how much I really hated Christians. and then even to the point where I got remarried and I had two more sons, and I even started doing a ritual with them one October, 1 year. I mean, because I had constantly been searching to try to get back in it, but I wanted it to be a family-friendly kind of way because I didn't want to bring my kids into, you know, naked full moon rituals. And so I never did find a way to get back in it, but I was constantly searching because I felt like it was a part of who I was that I had lost, and I was searching constantly. And then we tried looking around at the Unity Church and the Unitarian Universalist Church because I was seeking. I felt like I was a spiritual person. You know, my spirituality was missing in my life. And, I mean, this was over a long course of a lot of years. And then somehow God just brought me to church. I had never been in a real church before. I'd only gone to the Mormon Church. And God brought us right into a church. I can't even tell you how. I just know that I was seeking. I was literally looking on the internet for started looking at churches. I was looking for homeschool groups for my kids because we were homeschooling. And I found a church that had a homeschool group, but I didn't want to go because I didn't believe in, you know, their doctrine or theology. You know, I didn't even know what that meant. I just saw what it said, you know, their doctrine about God, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And I didn't even understand that. Jesus was like a guy in white robes with long hair. I took his name as a swear word daily. I mean, he meant nothing to me. I did not understand who he was. And so we went to a Unity church one time because we moved into a new neighborhood and got a new house. And it just felt wrong. I mean, I never could make these other churches feel right. I just knew I needed community and I needed spirituality. And so I told my husband, could we just try this Christian church and leave this Unity church because it just felt so wrong. And he agreed. And we went into this Presbyterian church and sat down. And for the first time, I felt like I was at home, which was really crazy for me. And I took one of the pamphlets from the pews, and after church, we went home, and I was reading it. And before, I would have just thrown it away. You know, I egged the Ten Commandments at the Catholic church up the street from my house when I was younger. You know, I hated Christians. I would never have listened to it. But suddenly, I was open to hearing it, and I read the pamphlet, and I wanted, you know, to know more. And so we went to that church. And have been going to that church every Sunday since then. That was 2.5 years ago. And my husband and I have been baptized. 3 out of my 4 sons have been baptized. But it wasn't just, you know, that we walked into church and it changed us. It was our willingness to go every Sunday and to hear the message and to start to learn who this God of the Bible is. What is the Bible? Is the Bible even true? Because just a few years prior, one of my sons had been hanging out with a neighbor boy who was Christian, and he brought a Bible home, and I sat there, and I read the first couple of lines of Genesis, and I mocked it, and I made fun of him, and I told him, that is a lie. Do not believe this. Don't ever believe any of this. It's all lies. You know, I was trying to turn my own son away from God, but I didn't know. I thought I sincerely believed it was a lie. And so as we started going to church, I started wanting to know if the Bible was true. And so my husband and I started to read the Bible. And as we read the Bible, we both learned who Jesus Christ was. And it absolutely just brought me into complete love and adoration as I started with Matthew. And I was reading the Sermon on the Mount, and I was in awe of this man who said things that were so profound that I'd never even thought of or understood before. And it just penetrated my spirit with the truth and the depth of who he was and his love. And, you know, I just kept continually bringing questions I had about the Bible before God, and he would meet me exactly where I was with answers in ways that made sense to me, until finally, after a few months of going to church, I realized that God was the one and true and only and living God, that the Bible was the inerrant word of God. And I got down on my knees and I totally gave my life over to him, and it was right after that we got baptized. But it was the most amazing moment, you know, at that point in my life. And after that, I mean, God, and I prayed, God, take me and use me as a tool. I give my whole life to you. And he said, that's a great idea. And he just took me on a roller coaster ride from there, where my whole life is a complete difference than before. I mean, because everything of the world was everything I embraced, you know, TV shows, violence, sex, drugs, horror, none of that bothered me. I loved it. I can't even barely watch PG now. I mean, I'm so sensitive now. I was watching shows about zombies and witches and vampires and murderers, and I can't even stand that kind of stuff at all. music was the same thing. It was about violence, drugs, and sex. Cussing. I cussed all the time. I only listened to Christian music, mostly praise and worship music. I wanted to give my body to God, so I started dressing modestly. I wanted to look nice, so I started trying to dress more nicely. And I lost weight, you know, trying to be healthy. I mean, I could go on for a long time about the changes that I want, but I wanted to do it because of my love for God, but not just because I loved him, but for the first time I realized I was loved. And for the first time ever in my life, I had hope and I had joy.
Amen. And that's an awesome testimony. I kind of understand where you come from, because I came from kind of the same type of background, but not Wiccan, though. I came out of Unity Church back many years ago, and the Lord pulled me out of that. I kind of understand where you're coming from and how the Lord takes you out of there. He has his ways. He has his finger on you no matter what. His finger's been on you all the time. You just didn't know it. And when he's like, it's enough, you're coming out, then he starts pulling strings where you start getting, it's like he ties a rope around your leg and starts pulling you out, and you don't even know what's going on until he pulls that drapes off your eyes, and you see, what was I in, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, but the thing of it is, like most people, I mean, people that's been to these churches, that's been at many different cults and stuff, they find, like you said, they find a thing against God, and Satan takes that thing and he rides it in them. He rides it in them, and he puts hate in them. And before you know it, they won't go back to church. But their problem is that they never knew Jesus to begin with. They just listened to what preachers told them. They didn't pick up the Word of God and actually read it. They just go by what people tell them. And what's so unique is once you get the Holy Spirit in you and he starts showing you and teaching you about Christ, and Christ starts revealing himself to you, you start learning about the love of Jesus, you fall in love with him. And you know that he's love, you feel safe with him. There's not like any scared part there. You know you're free with him, and he's always there no matter what. But one of the biggest things that I felt was that his freedom through the cross, when he died on the cross, he took all of our trash away from us and made us a new person. That's what's so awesome. But, Bantha, I really understand your story. It's really an awesome story. Now, I know Halloween is coming here pretty soon, and a lot of people don't understand Halloween. Can you go in depth with that a little bit?
Sure. So Halloween, I mean, and I'm sure a lot of people have heard this, is that it is rooted in witchcraft and paganism, but it's also it's a high holy day for witches and Satanists right now. So even if you want to ignore the fact that Halloween has always been evil, and I have heard some people say it was Christian at one time, but that's not true to my knowledge or any of the studying I've ever done. You can ignore all that, but let's look at Halloween right now. When I drive down the street of my neighborhood, I see people's houses decorated with skulls, witches, ghosts, which are actually demons, giant spiders, vampires, zombies, severed body parts, graveyards. That is pure evil. There's something about this time of year, particularly right around October 31st, that is seducing people into the fleshly ways of the world and evil. It's a temptation. And I know that some people like to say that they're not doing anything evil because they might not have the evil decorations or the scary costumes, but on Halloween, on October 31st, witches and Satanists, and they are two separate categories, but they are both demonic. One just knows and one doesn't. They're both doing rituals, and it's a celebration of death. Witches are celebrating death as if it's a good thing, because when they die, they go into the summer land or other things that they call it, where it's not like heaven, but it's like a paradise. It's like another world that they're just going into, their spirits are going into. So they're not afraid of death. They celebrate it. And then Satanists are actually sacrificing humans and animals, and also doing other rituals where they're abusing and sexually abusing people. And it's completely evil. It doesn't matter how you spin it. If it's a high holy day for Satanists and witches, why do we want to do anything on that day? If you want to reach out to the lost or pray for people, that's one thing. But dressing up or participating or doing anything related with anything about Halloween, I mean, I would like to ask anyone, what do you think that, how God sees that? And I would like to also just read a few scripture verses, because God's very clear about what he thinks about Halloween and things of that. So Ephesians 5:11 says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness that expose them. So instead of falling prey to the way of the world, which is let's just celebrate Halloween, we're to expose it, because we are light and we're to be the light of the world. We're the lantern on the hill. So instead of just conforming, God's telling us expose the works of darkness. And then 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. So if witches and Satanists are conjuring up demons, and what you're doing when you are doing magic is you're harnessing the power of demons, you're channeling spirits, and that's where you get the power to perform your spells and rituals, and also the rituals are calling upon even higher powers of demons, because there are different levels of demons, why would you want to partake in that? I mean, how can you say you're not partaking in it if you're doing anything on a day where Satan is literally proclaiming, this is my day? Also, Colossians 2:8 says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. So Halloween is a deception. It's a human tradition. It was created by man, taken, and then try to have a transformation to say it's just about partying and fun and it's innocent, but that's not of Christ. And one more is, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that's Romans 12:2.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome there. I know we had a guest, Doug Perry from Fellowship of the Martyrs on here, and he was talking about where he would drive around his city and pray for his city and close some doors that a lot of people opened in the city, like doors to spirit worlds and all that stuff. And he said they would pray and have these doors closed. And when Halloween would come open or would come in, he said all these churches would have, all these churches would be having Halloween parties, having all type of things. And before you know it, all those doors was wide open. And it wasn't nothing they could do, because the churches allowed these doors open to the spiritual world with, you know, with this Halloween stuff they was doing. They had no idea what they was doing. But Doug Perry, he has this hot sense that the Lord gave him. He could see this stuff. And he said that they would have to go and start praying over these places. The Lord put, he would have to go and actually ask for forgiveness for this, to close these doors and forgive us for this and that. And then the doors would close and they would start back. But every time these Halloween trunk or treats would start, they'd slam these doors wide open, and they would only know what was coming through these doors into their town, into their churches. They was just allowing things into their churches. When God opens your eyes where you could see this stuff, you see what's going on in the in the spiritual realm. You see what's coming through. But when your eyes is closed and you're taught on TV that it's fun time and it's game time, we can do little tricks, but you don't know what's behind it. That's where Satan is actually, he's masking things where you don't see what's going on behind the scenes, that you're actually hurting your community, you're hurting yourself, you're pulling yourself into things you don't know. And it's just, and he was talking about, what are you talking about, leaving your body, what do you call that, astro traveling? He said he could look through the sky and see like streams going across the sky where people's astro traveling like crazy on Halloween. He said you could see it.
Yeah, I can imagine.
He said you could He said, you could see it all across the sky. He said, it looked like airplane tracks you would see in the sky.
Wow.
But he said,
that's
he
scary.
Said he could see that on Halloween night, and he was just praying to the Lord, please forgive us. Please forgive us for what's going on here. And he said that, you know, after all that would be over, they'd have to go and start praying over their city and start closing these doors from where all these churches with all these trunk-or-treats and all these Halloween carnivals would open these doors, that they was trying to keep their city safe and try to get it. Keep it under the Spirit of God and keep it, you know, the Holy Spirit filled. But they was actually opening these doors through Halloween and their celebrations and stuff that they had no idea what they was doing. But, you know, like you was talking about, the background you came out of, you're sensitive to the Spirit, a lot of us is. And when you get around these things, you can feel what's going on. You don't really understand, but you can feel there's something not good going on there. And you have this sense, stay away.
I just want to say I don't condemn, and Jesus doesn't condemn people who are celebrating Halloween, especially Christians, but I only ask and urge Christians to rethink, you know, their perceptions of Halloween, because I mean I just urge them to think about the true meaning of it and to not try to put a filter over their eyes, basically, because you're really conforming to the way of the world. You know, you can have candy or dress up so many other days of the year. You know, it does not have to be October 31st or even a few days before October 31st, because from what I've read, those are actually pretty bad days for the Satanists too. They are still doing sacrifices of human sacrifices. But you know, if Christians would stop celebrating Halloween and stop and pray, like you said, and pray around their city and pray for the lost and pray for people who are, you know, being harmed on this night, think of how we can glorify God that way. You know, we could truly glorify God and give ourselves over. You know, the Bible says that we are a temple of God. We're a temple of the Holy Spirit. We are grieving the Holy Spirit when we want to participate in darkness, but we're not just participating in darkness. We're calling darkness good. We're calling good evil good and good evil, and that's just from Romans 2.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, you know, the Lord is... You know, he loves us no matter where we are. He knows that a lot of us, we get stuck in this, you know, in the world. We get stuck in how, you know, how we're used to doing. But, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes within you and he starts opening your eyes, you start seeing these things. And I'm saying not hate, like you're saying, not hate people that do Halloween. I mean, we're supposed to love people no matter what. But I really feel that the way we live our lives will show other people how to live their lives. I mean, if we don't celebrate it, we still love people, you know. I'm not saying give out candy, but give tracts out, pray for somebody, you know, and just live an everyday life. And I'm not on here to kick Halloween, and I'm just here to open your eyes about Halloween. Just let you know what's going on, what's really going on behind the background, where you'll really see. And there's a lot of holidays that we celebrate that has a lot of crazy ties to it. And I had my friend Jacob Phillips, and me and him was talking about just fellowshipping over the phone, two brothers in the Lord, just talking about all the backgrounds to a lot of religious holidays that we have. And, you know, there's Christmas is a holy day for, you know, Lord Jesus Christ being born, but there's a lot of other things been added to it, you know, that we don't really understand that's been added to it. And, it's just, you know, just do your research and just see. And that's how a lot of Christians is finding out these things. They're doing research, they're reading the Word of God, and they're seeing where these things are coming from, that we're great not to see. And it's just look, and you look, you study the Word of God, you see what happened in the Word of God, how you know, the disciples celebrated things and what they did on these days, and you start looking at your life now, how everything that we're doing now ain't really how they celebrate that stuff. And you start saying, you start scratching your head like, why are we doing this? You know, so
mm-hmm.
common sense. And it's just reading your Word of God. That's all it is. It's reading the scriptures and letting it guide you and not your TV and some TV preacher on there or whoever trying to teach you. And that's what it's all about, letting God lead you. But now, after, Beth, I'd like to ask you, after you got out of this, how, what was God really opening your eyes to more? You know, did you get baptized in the Holy Spirit during this time, or what happened?
Oh, yeah. You know, in the Bible, it says that you have a veil over your eyes before you come to Jesus Christ. And I can tell you that veil was just whipped right off my eyes, because literally I did not see anything in the world the same at all. I mean, with my real eyes and with my spiritual eyes, everything looked completely different. And I didn't even believe in evil, really. And I saw evil for the first time, and I understood evil. And I mean, it's just been amazing. God has grown me. I've only been a Christian for 2.5 years, maybe a little bit longer. And the things that God has done in my life, I don't even think half the people would believe it. But yeah, He's just shown me spiritual gifts. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. I'm not saying everyone needs to speak in tongues to have the Holy Spirit, but it's an amazing gift. And I have the gift of discerning spirits, so I can sense evil and demons in the presence of angels, or just things that are going on in the spiritual realm, which helps me to pray. And I have a gift of intercessory prayer, so I just love to pray for people. And, I mean, I'm very active in my church, which, you know, coming from hating Christianity, you know, I'm on the worship team. I just love to worship. And I've just seen a whole new world. And one of the things about people who are seeking out other religions, such as witchcraft or unity or even Buddhism and New Age things, which I was totally into the New Age stuff also, what they're seeking is power. The power that we get when we have the Holy Spirit is missing from so many churches today. And also love, because Christians, you know, can be condemning. But when people go into the church and they just feel that lack of power, they're going to go searching somewhere else for it, because Jesus died to give us power and authority. You know, the Bible says that we are seated right now in the heavenlies with God. And so it's our birthright to have the power that the Holy Spirit brings into our lives. But if we continue to grieve the Holy Spirit individually or in our churches, people are going to go and find somewhere else where they think they're getting power. And they are getting power. It's just the power of the demonic, and it's the power of Satan.
That's a very true. I really believe that, you know, that's one thing that really pushed people away, is that, you know, the original church that Peter started right after Christ ascended, I really believe that they had power. I mean, the Holy Spirit they was baptized, you know, in the day of Pentecost, and they had the power, and everybody in the church at those days had the power of God on them. And it was like tremendous miracles. And then, you know, in the Catholic, and I ain't gonna name churches or anything, but they finally cut it out. And it's like they cut the power of God out of church. And and then when people was going to church and they're praying and not a whole lot of stuff's going on, they're like, what is wrong here? We're reading about the Word of God, where Jesus laid hands on the sick, they're raising from the dead, you know, disciples, why ain't we doing this? That's because they're supposed to be doing this.
Exactly.
They're supposed to be doing this, but it's just the church people, you know, just the church is just trying to cover it up, because they don't want them to know more than they do. So, you know, it's just, you know, pick up the Bible, read it, and do what it says. I have had so many guests that was not Christians at all. They had no idea about Christianity. They picked up the Word of God, started reading, and started working in the gifts. Because they believed, they had nobody to tell them and put, you know, walls around them that they couldn't do it.
Wow.
They couldn't do it. And I know a brother of mine, Rafael Garcia, which he teaches about the power of God all over the world. He was like that. He had no idea that much about the church. One day, as a young 16-year-old, picked up the Word of God, started reading, and he said, well, Jesus said I could lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And he did it, and people started getting healed instantly, one after another.
Wow.
And
wow.
I mean, it's just reading and doing what it says. It's basically that, not what, you know, three preachers have told you. Well, if you got to fast for 3 days before you lay hands on the sick, and you got to do this, and they're building walls. And I have actually been in churches myself where I saw these build these walls, and I sat there and just shake my head of, man, it's just so confusing here. And it's like, don't do that. Just go with the Word of God, what it's teaching you. Listen to it. Put it in your mind and let it work. Because, like I said on the other broadcast I had, the Word of God is the words of Christ Jesus. He was the Word. He did put every word in that Bible came out of his mouth, because he was God's Word. Even before he was in physical form, that is his Word. He was speaking that. So, you know, put that into your body, into your mind, and it starts transforming you. And ask for a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've got plenty of shows where we pray for baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's amazing just to be fully activated in, you know, in who you're supposed to be. Because Jesus wants all that for you. He wants you to be walking as he was. We're supposed to be seeing more miracles than he did. We're supposed to be seeing more miracles than he did. He said that. He said that. And if you're not, you ain't doing something right. You know. So, you know,
I agree.
Because he wants everybody to have this, and it's not nothing for the special person up front. It ain't for the famous preacher that comes to your church once a year. It's for everybody. And that's one of the weirdest things that we have when we do these. I do conferences with the Healing Light Show. And a lot of times when we do a conference, they expect us to call them up to pray for them. And first of all, I said, turn to your partner and lay hands and pray for them to be, you know, healed, and ask them where the pain level is or whatever, because I turn it from us to them, because that's what it's all about, is teaching them to do the same thing. And that's the whole thing. We all supposed to be walking like this, because ain't none of us no different. He sees us all the same. You know, we're all children of God through Jesus Christ, and that's the big thing there. But, Beth, thank you for coming on the show. That was an amazing testimony.
Thank you very much.
And I'm sure this is going to touch a lot of people and open some eyes, because I know there's probably some young teenagers that will probably get a hold of this and listen to this show. Like, wow, I don't need to get into that stuff. So, you know, so it's going to be amazing, because it's so unique how God puts different messages in people's faces. And, you know, they come upon this blog talk, or they come upon this story, and it's right when they need it, and they listen to it, and God teaches them right to it. So, you know, this is going to be pretty amazing.
Yes, I hope so. I pray so.
But thanks again for coming on the show. And I'll talk to you soon, Beth. You have a great night. And thanks. I want to thank everybody who's listening to this show, and I ask everybody to check out Beth's email address. Do you have any more links that you like to talk about before we cut off here?
Yes. I have a blog, and on my blog you can see my full testimony and my story about how I came to Jesus and my walk with Jesus. It's called theothersideofdarkness.com. I also have a YouTube channel where I have videos about Halloween, my testimony, spiritual gifts such as praying in tongues, and things of that nature. That's the same, The Other Side of Darkness on YouTube. I also have a Facebook page, The Other Side of Darkness, or if you want, you can look me up on Facebook, Beth Eckert, but I can't accept any more friends because they only let you accept 5,000.
That's cool. And I also have her website address on the bottom of this show, so you can click right there, and it should take you straight to her website and get in contact with her if you want to know more about her and know more about her ministry. She has a lot of good teaching videos. I ran them on Facebook, and they're really uplifting, and she has a great teaching. So go check it out, guys. And I want to tell everybody, you know, if you want to know more about Healing Light Show, I got the Healing Light Show page on Facebook. I got many shows right there. I also got the Healing Light Show Conference Roadshow. It's on Facebook. Check that out. If you want us to come to your church or to your city, just let us know. We'll come and teach the Word of God, teach you to lay hands on the sick, watch them recover, and also, you know, get a good worship because we bring a band with us. So we always have an awesome time when we're out doing conferences. So I'll say God bless everyone, one of y'all, and we'll see you Wednesday.
The ground with the sound of his eyes.